We are embarking on a happy new year. I see that. And as long as we keep Christ as our chief in command, we're going to do just fine. We're going to do just fine. This is Almighty God's house of worship. And we are the ones that He has chosen to fill these seats with souls that He bought and paid for. After all, doesn't He deserve to get what He bought and paid for? And who does He send out to collect the souls that He bought and paid for? Us. The body of Christ. The church. I hope each of us knows this to the depths of our soul. That each of us is called to be a part of the kingdom building process. It's the way that God has chosen to use us to build His kingdom. He has chosen this as the way that it happens. Because God could just have angels come down and snatch people by the neck and say, okay, that's it, you're coming. He could, but He won't. He uses us to give an invitation to people. To say, here we go. You can come. You can come. Whosoever will may come. This is what the Word says. And I have to ask, are we all committed to serving our Creator this year in a way that glorifies Him? In the purpose that He designed us for? These are just questions. It's not an indictment, it's just a question. Each of us is a necessary part of the body of Christ. But I can tell you this, and I've seen it, I've had the experience of it, any of us can be replaced if we fail to do what God wants us to do, or if we go against what God wants us to do. God can replace us. We're not irreplaceable. And there's too many people in the world today that think they're irreplaceable. That somehow they're the thing that God has to have to do what it is, that whatever it is. There's a lot of pastors that think that. Yours truly isn't one of them. I know God could move me out of here in a second, in a blink. And of course, laying me on my back yesterday showed me that. He could have kept me out of here, but He brought me in today. I have a vision for the year that lays ahead of us. And I do believe that this vision is from God. I believe that Almighty God has given me His vision for His church that meets in this building, which, by the way, is also His. It all belongs to Him. And I think that we all have to be committed to praying. And this vision is completely dependent upon all of us participating. I think it's important that we recognize that. I think it's important that we realize that we have to seek God's guidance and allow Him to use us as He sees fit. And I think the ones that are here today get that. I think you all get that. You understand that. You know, seeking God's guidance and allowing Him to use us are good works. They're the kind of works that we're made for. We're His workmanship, it's written in Ephesians chapter 2, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 tells us that. Philippians 2:13 is where we hear, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." It's for His pleasure. God works through us for His pleasure. He wants to grow the kingdom. He wants souls to be collected. Christ gave Himself for us, it's written in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works, wanting to serve Him. Wanting to do those works for Him. That's not what our salvation is based on. Our salvation is based on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Our hope is built on nothing less. And it's written in Titus chapter 3 and verse 14, "Let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful." There's work for us to do. It's after our salvation that God has purposed us to do works, to do things, to be participators in the process of building His kingdom. We live in urgent times. And as Christ's followers, we're being called to a deeper walk with Him. A walk, perhaps, unlike ever before. It's time to stand up for our faith. It is time to stand up for our faith. As we embark on this new year, I believe we must focus on building this local church to be driven by the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit. No other spirit is permitted to be here. No other spirit is permitted to have any guidance or any way of controlling what happens here. Only the Spirit of God. We must open our eyes. We must look at the reality inside and outside of the church that meets in this building. We have to look at what it is that God has for us to do. We have to confront hard truths and harsh realities. And this isn't always comfortable. It's not always going to make us feel good. But we have to do it, folks. This is something that God's showing me. He's shown me a path that He wants us to follow. If we think about what Jesus said, Jesus, when He came onto this planet, He said, "You're going to have tribulation in the world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Wow! He said, "You're going to have trouble, but smile." Right? Hey, you know, we're in the world, but we're not to be of it. We are in this world, but we're not to be of it. We're not to be participating in those things of the world. God has promised to give messages for this coming year that will force us as a church to confront and face the truth and to address it. Whatever that is, whatever God shows us, I believe each and every one of us needs to receive these messages, including yours truly. Because who gets the message first, folks? Right here. God gives me the message, and it's not just for everybody else. It's for me, too. I need to be willing to look at these hard truths. I need to be willing to look at the harsh realities. I believe we need to be committed to serving God. And I'm committed to delivering these messages completely. I'm not going to skip anything, okay? If God gives me something to say, I'm going to say it. And I think those of you who are here know that. Each week, we're going to feed upon the Word of God, just as we have in previous years. That's going to continue. We're going to mature into those that do what God wants us to do to build His church. Last year, He gave me a series of messages on love to show how we are to love ourselves, but not more than others. To love others as we love ourselves. To love our neighbors. To love our enemies. Hard truths, harsh realities. Sometimes we get up against a wall and somebody's got us pinned against the wall. What are we going to do? We want to come out swinging, don't we, John? I mean, that's our natural reaction. We want to come out swinging. We want to get them off of us. I think God is tempering us to be those who will love even in the face of those types of realities. As we feed on the Word of God, we're going to take a look at what He does to build His church. And we're going to look at what is hurting Christ's church. And I'm not just talking about the church that meets here. I'm talking about the whole body of Christ everywhere. Because there are some real serious things that are happening in the body of Christ that are hurting Christ's church. I believe His people are in amongst others, and some of them are not followers of Christ. It's a sad reality. It's a hard reality. And we need to look at that. And we need to see, check us, as if Christ Himself were the mirror and we're looking at ourselves in the light of Christ. Are we where He wants us to be? And as we do this, we're going to be reminded that our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against His church." So the title of this message today is that the church shall prevail, because the gates of hell won't. The gates of hell are that opening, this vacuuming souls out of life into death. That's the gates of hell. And Christ said the gates of hell will not prevail against His church. We're going to read that passage of Scripture a little later. We need to also remember what's written in Psalm 127 in verse 1. "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And so the house being the house of God, in this case, if we don't do it with the Lord, we're laboring in vain. In vain. Nathan, can you turn those fans off, please? I only had them on this morning whenever I put the heat on first to bring the warm air down. Thank you. It's critically important for us to seek the Lord's guidance as we build His church that meets in this building. Because the church is not the building, folks. Somehow in the last 100 years or so, maybe longer, the focus of the church being the people was shifted from the people to the buildings. And so we start to say we're going to church. We're going to the church. We're going, not we're being the church. We are the church. We're going to the meeting house. At some point in time, that language shifted, and then our perspective, our perception changed. And we lost the idea that we are the church. It's not the building. It's not the structure. It's not the edifice. It is the people of God. And when we really get that, we start to realize, how does the body grow? Reproduces itself. It reproduces itself. The sheep beget sheep. We draw their souls into fellowship. I'm willing to go boldly where God is leading us. And the question for each of you who receive these messages is whether you'll heed the voice of your Creator to follow Him. I believe God has brought me here to be an under-shepherd of Christ and to shepherd the flock that He brings here. And I believe that as we are following Christ, we're going to be obedient to Him. And if ever there's anything that's out of the line of God's Word, please bring it to my attention. If there's anything that I preach, teach, do that's out of God's will, I want you to bring it to me. I want you to come directly to me and bring it to me. Because that's what God's Word shows us. But if we're on God's path and we're doing what God wants, then all of us need to be in one accord. And I'm not talking about the Honda Accord, okay? I'm talking about God's will. This is what we see in the early church. They were all in one accord. They were all in agreement. They worked together in harmony. There was unity. And whenever there was somebody who got out of line, who caused dissension, they were removed if they refused to repent. That's what God's Word shows us very clearly. The question for each of us is, are we willing to go where our Creator's leading? For thus says the Lord God, it's written in Ezekiel 34, verses 11 and 12. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep. So will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. God seeks out His sheep. And who does He use to do that? We could all raise our hands. He'll use us. He will use us. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. And He also said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. It's time for Christ's people to follow where He's leading. I think the devil didn't want me to deliver this message. I think that's why I was knocked down so hard yesterday. I really do. The devil didn't want me to deliver this message because it is absolutely based on Scripture. Solid, biblical evidence exists for God building His church. Not the building. The people. And it's time for us to follow where He's leading. It's time to take a good, hard look at where we are and where we're going. To be the church, not just play church. There was lots of people throughout the ages who have played church. They'd dress up in their Sunday finest. They'd show up on Sunday morning 15 minutes early. And they'd sit in those pews, they'd listen to the music playing because there was some piano player or organ player or both. And they would go through all the motions throughout the service. And then they'd go out and they'd live their lives contrary to the Scripture. They were playing church. They weren't being the church. And that happened, I think, partly because we turned the church from being the people into being the building. And church was now something we did instead of something we are. And we need to be the church, folks. That's what God's calling us to. And I think because we live in such critical times, I think because we have the world going on the stage that it's going, I think we have to do this. We must. We must answer the call of God. He wants souls to be brought in. He bought and paid for them, and he deserves to get what he bought and paid for. It's time for God's people to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and run with endurance that race which is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's what's found in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We need to lay aside all those things that are getting in the way of being the church. Now, let's open our Bible to the 16th chapter of Matthew's gospel record. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to begin at verse 13. That's found on page 661 in the Pew Bible. Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. Again, that's page 661 in the Pew Bible. And we're going to read through verse 20. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter," Petros is the name that he used, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. We'll end our reading there and trust that God will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. He began by teaching his disciples, by asking them, who do the people say I am? Who do they say I am? And after they told him, Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit to confess that he was the Christ. After giving Peter a promise and a prophecy, Jesus told him not to tell anybody he was the anointed one of God. Don't tell anybody I'm the Messiah. Don't tell them that. Now, that's a whole other message, which we're not going to go into, but remember that. He wasn't boasting. He wasn't prideful. He wasn't saying, "Yeah, I'm the man. Go tell everybody." No, he was saying, "Don't." And the main point today is found in Jesus' prophecy and his promise. He said, "I also say to you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." There's a lot there. That's a promise. You hear the promise? What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. We can bind the demons. We can bind those evil spirits. And God is doing that. The name Peter means a piece of rock. Petros. It's a Greek phrase, a Greek word that means a piece of rock. It's bigger than a stone, bigger than a pebble, but it's a piece of rock. The word rock that Jesus used there means a rock like a cliff or a ledge. And it's not just a piece of rock. And remember that it's written in the second chapter of Ephesians, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He's the rock in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. That's in Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 21. Jesus is the cornerstone. Each one of us is a stone being built together into the temple for God. Do you not know that you are the temple of the living God? This is what he's talking about. It's a spiritual foundation. It's on Christ. It's not on Peter. Now, some have said that it was Peter, and that Peter has the gates, keys, and all this. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. In Matthew 7, we hear Jesus teaching, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Who's the rock? Christ is the rock. Christ is the rock. Not Peter, not Petros. Christ is the rock. Jesus is the rock upon which the whole church is built. And that's all, the universal church from time past to time future. Every bit, including us, right here, right now. We're part of the church. Now, in another sense, this church is a body of believers called out of the world to learn from God's Word and to go forward and to bring other souls in. Okay? The second point that we hear in Jesus' teaching from what we read in Matthew 16 is that the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. The gates of hell will not prevail. And so when we see things happening, if we get into a battle. Now, a number of us, I could say at least some of us guys, have been in actual physical fights, and we know what that's like. We know what that's like, okay? And when we're fighting, some people might be fighting for recognition. We're not fighting for recognition. We're fighting to prevail, okay? That's the truth of it. And Almighty God tells us His church will prevail. Hell is not going to have its way over this church or any other, the true church of Christ. No matter what the devil does, and if God allows it, it's for His purposes, and it is for growth. You think about the first fight that you ever, I can remember being in a fight when I was 3 years old. I got beat up. There's three kids pounded me. But I learned from that. I learned from it. I learned with every successive fight, I learned. All the way down to the last fight, whenever that was. I don't remember now, but it's been a long time. God taught me how to fight. And now He takes that same skill that He allowed me to develop to use in fighting for His kingdom. Know that, folks. He'll take everything that you have in you, every bit of what you have in you, and He will use it to His glory. However you've come through this life that He's given you so far, He will use it to His glory. The gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. Are we willing to fight for Christ? Are we willing to stand? Because that's what the Scriptures show us. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. When we see men or women that come against the church, we're not fighting against them. We're fighting against the spiritual forces. We're fighting against the devil himself. And when somebody is taken over by the devil, it's because they've got sin in their life. You know, that phrase, the gates of hell, I think I mentioned earlier, is used to describe the entrance to that great prison of torment that vacuums souls from this world. And it is a vacuum. You ever get caught in a vacuum, you know you are powerless. You're powerless over it. Once you give yourself to going into that vacuum, it takes you away. Think about the vacuum that's created in front of a jet engine. And if somebody's standing in front of that jet engine, whoosh, the vacuum gets them. They are powerless, and they're destroyed. The gates of hell, vacuuming souls out of this world, because people gave themselves to it. Now, with Christ, we are victorious. Christ makes a way for us to escape every temptation. We do not have to step in front of that engine that's going to suck us through and destroy us. We do not need to stand in that vacuum. Because with Christ as our guide, we are strengthened against that temptation. And think about that for a minute, folks. It's really important. Christ's true church is superior in strength to the gates of hell. Superior. We are superior. We are victorious. We do not have to give in to sin. Christ's true church, which is founded on Him as the Lord and Savior, prevails over hell and all forces of evil. His true church. If we are members of His true church, and I'm not just talking about this place, I'm talking about the true church of Christ, we overcome. We are victorious because in Christ we are victors. We are not victims. Remember, it's written, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever. Forever. The Lord surrounds His people forever. Forever. We're protected. We simply have to remember, we have free choice. We have free will. We could step in front of that jet engine. Whew. We could get in that vacuum. We could make that choice. But we're surrounded. We're given a way out. The temptation is there. There's always temptation. There's temptation in all of our lives, folks. There's no doubt about that to me. There's temptation in all of our lives, but God makes a way out of it for us. We're surrounded, protected. He surrounds us if we're His. If we're His, we're surrounded by Him. The devil and his forces will not prevail over Christ's church. And so if we see trouble in the church, it's time to draw near to God. When we see trouble in the body of Christ, we must draw near to God. Remember what's written in James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And we've seen some double-minded people come and go through here. We have seen that. And I'm not picking on those people. They were used of Satan, and that's between them and God. They'll have to deal with that. God is going to keep this body pure. He's going to build His church that meets in this building. Too many who call themselves followers of Christ are like those that the Lord said worship God with their mouths and honor Him with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. And their worship of Him is based on rules made by humans. Now, Jesus said that. It's written in Matthew chapter 15, but He was quoting Isaiah from chapter 29. Too many worship God with their mouths and honor Him with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. And their worship of Him is based on rules made by humans. And there are some who are trying to go more into the human rules. Well, while with their mouth they're saying, we got to get away from the human rules. God tells us in His Word what the problems are. We simply need to follow what He says. True believers in Christ are being drawn out of human traditions. True believers in Christ are being drawn into authentic worship in spirit and in truth. Those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. There's a lot of Christian churches that close their doors each year, folks. The numbers vary depending on which survey you read or which statistics you read. Thousands per year in the United States are closing Christian churches. Europe is almost void of authentic Christianity anymore because the churches have closed. They've got these big, huge cathedral-type edifices that are maintained by historical societies instead of by the body of Christ. There's a lot of churches that are running pastors out too. And a lot of pastors quit because of abuse from those that they serve. These are facts. It's not something that I'm making up. It's a lot of churches that are running them out because people are unregenerate, because they're unholy, because they're unloving, because they're unmerciful. Because they're ungrateful for what God has done for them. There's no other way to look at it, folks. That's a harsh reality. Those are harsh truths. That's a very hard thing to look at. And when we have to confront it ourselves, right here, in this little building, in this little town, In some little corner of western Pennsylvania, we have to say the spiritual warfare is on. God is showing me what's going on. He's showing me. And I have no choice but to believe this grieves the great shepherd of our souls. It grieves him to see his people fighting amongst themselves. Jesus said, will he find faith when he returns? We need to pay attention to that. It's written in Ephesians 4:11 that Christ gives pastors and teachers as gifts to his church. Who gives the pastor to the church? Christ. It's not yours truly. I didn't give myself to this church. Christ gave me to this church. And Christ will use me to his glory so long as I'm obedient to him. Now, there are people around me that maybe are not as obedient as I am. And some of those people are doing things that perhaps they shouldn't be doing. When it comes to my attention, I address it. And there are some people who would take those things and they'd use them against me. They can't use my preaching against me because I bring the Word of God. They can't use my life against me because I live as close as I possibly can in the likeness of Christ. But when people are drawing for straws, they can find them. God's Word tells us that the pastors and teachers' purpose is to prepare God's people to serve and to build up the body of Christ. That's what I'm doing. I'm doing everything that I possibly can to build up the body of Christ. He said this is to continue until all of us are united in our faith and in our knowledge about God's Son, and until we become mature, until we measure up to Christ, who is the standard. We are to measure up to Christ. This is all in Ephesians chapter 4, if you care to read it for yourself. Verses 11 through 13. There are many passages of Scripture. I'm about to wrap it up, folks. There are many passages of Scripture that encourage us and instruct us to take care of those who work well. But there's not one passage of Scripture that teaches us to run off the pastor. There's not one that says the sheep ought to run the pastor. Nowhere. Nowhere is that written in Scripture. It is not written that the congregation should run the pastor. What's written is that the pastor should lead the congregation, not drive them. See, because the shepherd of the sheep, he's out in front. And they know his voice and they follow him. That's what Jesus said. He doesn't get behind them. He's not cracking a whip behind them, forcing them to go somewhere. He's leading. Here's the way. And they know his voice and they follow. Now, if I'm speaking as the under-shepherd of Christ, God's sheep will hear the voice and they will follow. And they'll know because it's based in his word. It's not some crackpot thing that come off the pastor's head. It comes out of God's word. The rebellious ones who are serving themselves or Satan, they hurt Christ's church. But we have to remember, Christ is the founder of his church, and he will prevail. And as I wrap this up, I want you to remember that God's church that meets in this building belongs to him. It belongs to him. It's founded on Christ as the cornerstone and none other. And I was going to skip over some of this, but you know what? I have to cover it. It's founded on Christ as the cornerstone and none other. No other stone in this world or in the spirit world serves as our foundation. None. There's no other stone. And I tell you this to affirm the truth of God's word, which has been proclaimed, pronounced, and prophesied right here. We are breaking chains, folks. I think that's why that song was so important today. I call upon Almighty God to break any and all chains and curses that might exist in any way at all here. We've seen the same kind of stuff happen. It's like the devil has raised his ugly head and done the same thing over and over and over. Since my wife and I have been here, this has happened over and over. We've had the same kind of things happen. I said, okay, there was some gateway that was open. We need to close that gateway, whatever it is. And I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, I'm asking for God to surround it with his angels. Block any entrance of the enemy into this place. I beg our Creator to set this place free from self-will. We've seen that over and over. Set it free from pride. We've seen that over and over. Set it free from rebellion. We've seen that over and over. We need to be set free from arrogance, self-confidence. We need God confidence. We need to be set free from egotism and selfishness. Because we've seen those things over and over and over here. Somehow, there was a gate open from hell that allowed these things to come in. And the people that were the weakest were the ones that got affected. Even people that were well-versed in the Word. I pray that God removes insensitivity. I pray that He removes indifference. I pray that He removes complacency. That all of us will have that drive to build His church that meets in this building. I pray He fills us with genuine concern and authentic understanding for the needs of others. True warmth for others. So that nobody comes in here and wonders why they came in. So that everybody would be welcomed when they come in here. I encourage you in the Lord's name to live differently from others in the world whose minds are set on worthless things. That's what His Word tells us. Let's recognize the foundation that we're built upon, Christ. Let's recognize that foundation. Let's be those who adapt as God fills this house of worship with hungry souls seeking His truth. Too often, newcomers are chased out by indifference. Too often, newcomers are chased out by egotism and arrogance and pride. Too often, newcomers are shunned. And they wonder, why did I come in that place? We need to embrace people. We need to show them the love of Christ so that they recognize that they're wanted. Not only wanted, but they're loved by Almighty God through us. We can teach others a way of transforming by showing how God has transformed us. He's renewing our minds. He's making us think like Christ each day. Let's relate what we've learned from Christ's teachings. Let's be those who welcome everybody that God brings here. And let's lead them to follow Christ and His example for living. Let's teach other people God's way of transforming us to become a new person created to be like God, righteous and holy. This is in the Scripture. This is right from the Scripture. I paraphrased it and I don't have the quote right here. It's right out of the Scripture. That's what God's Word says. Christ will build His church that meets in this building. If we will not give the devil an opportunity to work, He'll build this church that meets in this building. It's written in James chapter 4 and verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee. We can cooperate with God or we can find Him moving us out of His way. That's the truth of the matter. Don't give God's Holy Spirit any reason to be upset with you. And together, we can see new life spring forth in this old meeting place as we go into this new year, this happy new year. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have gathered us here today, Lord, and that we, Your church that meets in this building, can be encouraged by the work that You're doing here. We see, Lord, that You have done magnificent things, and we ask, Father, that You would guide us, that You would lead us, that You would help us to have a deeper walk with You. Help us, Lord, to be completely dependent upon You. Help us to be committed to praying, to seeking Your guidance, and allowing You to use us as You see fit. We know these are good works for You, and we are Your workmanship created in Christ Jesus for these good works. You prepared them beforehand that we should walk in them. We know there are many things that You've prepared for us to walk in, Lord. Guide us into those things. Use us, Lord, to build Your church that meets in this building, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.